So you always thought that there wasn't a huge amount you could do with your horse inside of a smaller space, let's say a 20 metre by 20 metre square. However, I want to let you know that not only is there lots of stuff you can do, but you can also do it with poles as well, ground poles. Hey there, my name is Lorna Leeson. I'm an equestrian trainer and coach, and welcome to the Daily Strides podcast, where I help riders from all over the world make the most out of their rides with their horses. And what we're doing in this episode is we are taking an episode from a whole week of lessons on the topic from Daily Strides Premium, which is a paid subscription, and we are putting it here for you, okay, that you can use and you can listen to as you work with your horse this week. And I'm going to encourage you to really and truly make the most of this. There is a diagram for this episode as to where to lay out the poles. You can get that over on our blog, which will be linked below, and we'll share it inside of the Daily Strides podcast online community group. You can find that over at stridesforsuccess.com/group. Finally, this is an audio horse riding lesson. I created it for you to listen to as you ride your horse. So if you want to do that, go right ahead. Get on your horse, get into the arena. Let's work together for the next couple of minutes. Ooh, and I do apologize for my voice. I was heavily pregnant, had a terrible cold. So the voice isn't great, but hey, the content's good. Okay, I will chat to you at the end of the episode. See you then. Smaller spaces, the bane of many a rider's life. However, with this group of episodes of lessons, I want to kind of spin that a little bit around for you. And I want you to start thinking about how you can use pole work to actually improve you and your horse while in a smaller space as well. Hi there, it's Lorna here, and this is Daily Strides Premium. I hope you are having a great day, and I hope you're ready to get started with this. Now, obviously, for this group of lessons, you are going to need poles. There we go, the prerequisite. But also, I want you to pop on over to the website and to download the, there's like a PDF worksheet thing to go with this particular week of lessons that I want you to get, because I don't want to get into all the details on explaining how to put poles and distances and all that fun stuff as we go through this. There's going to be 5 different exercises for this week of lessons, and I want you to have it all in front of you, that I don't need to waste time on that, that we can just quickly jump into actually getting the poles set up and getting you moving forwards on your horse. And that is actually what I want to achieve with this very first exercise. This first exercise that we're doing, it is basically riding through a corner, and a lot of the times we think of corners and we think of suppleness and bendiness and all that fun stuff. Well, obviously that's really important, but where I want to take this exercise today with you and your horse is actually to just bring it right back to the basic principle of forwardness. Because what I've noticed time and again with riders when they get into a smaller space is that things tend to get stuck, okay? So what ends up happening is the rider starts to feel, well, I don't know, that they have to slow things down in order to make things fit or to make things work in that space. And then the problem comes in when they then go into a larger space, which inevitably at some point you will find yourself riding in, regardless of where you ride in your smaller space. You will at some point, the fences will come down, the sides will come down, and you'll see that you're out into a bigger space. And if you're used to feeling or riding with this perspective of slowing things down and everything almost being stuck, this lack of forwardness, what ends up happening is the horse very often wants to go and the rider cannot shake this stuck, slow feeling. And it ends up being an explosion because the rider will keep holding the horse back. The horse is becoming frustrated. So I just feel it's really important to think forward, and even more so when you're working with limited space on your hands. And this is what I want to do with this exercise. Now, the other thing I want to stress here is that ideally, I would love if you could get out of the corner when you're setting the exercise up. Now, you're probably thinking, but you're Lorna, I'm fairly limited now in where I can go, and I understand that. But let's say your arena was 20 metres wide. Maybe you could make it, I don't know, 16 metres wide, and you could move your kind of poles 2 meters either way from the corners or something like that, okay? But just to get off the corners, and I want to explain why as we start to work through it. So I'm going to assume that you've downloaded it, that you've set out all your poles, and that we are good to go. And just before we go any further, I do want to apologize profusely for my voice. I have some sort of a throat thing. I've tried honey and gargling salt and all sorts of wonderful concoctions, but it doesn't seem to be helping. There we go. We're just going to have to listen to me with a raspy voice for this group of episodes. Okay, so we've set up our corner, and if you've taken my advice, you will have set it up pretty wide, okay? And what I'm looking for here is in the walk that you are basically just walking forwards with your horse. And I want you to notice if there's any desire, or sometimes you see we don't notice we're doing these things, but if you are in any shape, way or form slowing the horse down. Now, where I notice this happens a lot with riders is they become quite tense through their upper bodies. And you can see it's like, you know, the resistance that you use to good effect with your half halt. Well, it's that same resistance through the body, but there's no give. There's no allowing or no releasing. Remember, the half halt's a split second. You don't have that. And it becomes this very tense sort of I can see it in riders. The rider, if you're doing it, you'll be able to feel it. But sometimes we're not aware we're doing it. It's only when we bring our attention to it that we realize we're actually doing it, okay? So I want you just to notice this. I want you to notice if there is a tension there, I want you to let it go. Yes, you can resist and release and resist and release. And I would definitely suggest balancing your horse that way if you're able to do that. But the release is really important. Remember, it is not a balance if there's no release to go with that, okay? So really, really important that you're allowing that. And then that as the horse works through it, you're allowing him to continue to step on into this, okay? We need you both thinking forwards. Okay, so what I'm going to ask for you now this time again is to come around, and I'm not sure what size arena you're working in, but that we work through the same corner again. And this time we're going to pay a little bit of attention again to the fact that we're going forward, but also now to our rhythm. And particularly in the walk, there's a great potential for us to lose the rhythm of the walk. The walk gets stuck, eh? The walk is so easy to become stuck. We don't really need to do a whole lot at all to make it all kind of, it's like a big game of stuck in the mud. So I want you to make sure that the walk is moving forward. Now, what you can do is, as you're riding there, you can kind of feel which leg is coming where, and just using that your leg in the appropriate manner, just to ask the horse to swing the leg on under him, okay, to keep the walk moving forward. And what you'll feel there is the barrel. I've touched on this in lots of other lessons, so hopefully you'll understand what I'm talking about. And you can just use your leg, so it'll be like left leg, right leg, left leg, right leg, left leg, right leg. And all you're doing there is just asking or encouraging the horse to bring his back leg in underneath him. But again, if you are holding any excess tension through your body, he won't be able to step in and under himself with that back leg. You are going to block that, okay? You're actually going to shut down the whole flow of energy. So just again, noticing that you're allowing, that you're swinging, just like we want him to swing, I want you to swing too. I want you to, and you know, this is where people tend to sometimes over-exaggerate things. But just allowing your body, allowing suppleness through your body to allow this to happen. Okay, final thing is, once we get through this now the second time, I want you to begin to pick up trot, okay? Now, what I'm looking for in the trot here is once more forwardness. And this is where things might begin to get really sticky. So again, just noticing that as you're lining up for the corner, and if maybe you've set up two, maybe you've set up four, I'm not sure how your setup is. I want you to just notice that you're not having or holding too much tension through your body, okay? Yes, again, you can resist and release and resist and release and resist and release if you want, and if you feel you need to balance it, but the release is so important, okay? I want you to feel this fluidness. I want you to feel the forwardness. You can even just look at your horse and see if he is thinking forward. You'll very often see by almost the expression in his ears, I know you're behind him, is behind his face, but you can see by how expressive he is there if he's thinking forward or if indeed he is feeling a little bit stuck as well. Now, I would say if he's feeling a little bit stuck, you need to just wake things up a little bit, just get his attention a little bit, ask for a little bit more with regards to responsiveness, and then approach it again, okay? I want you both moving forwards. I cannot stress this enough. The other thing is, I would prefer that as you're riding this initially, you're doing so in rising trot, obviously making sure you're on the correct diagonal. I find that when we get into sitting trot, we can tend to, especially if we're not light in the sitting trot, we can tend to cause the horse to hollow out. And that is going to, again, block the forwardness. Okay, so yes, I've said forwardness about a million times in this episode. But that is what I want you to focus on. That is where I want your attention to be. That is what I want you and your horse doing. I want you both thinking and moving forwards. I want you both moving in a way that the horse is really and truly going somewhere and that he's taking you there. If you can imagine going somewhere with a sense of purpose, that is how it should look from the outside, from if I was to stand there in the arena and watch you and your horse, that the two of you are moving forward with a sense of purpose, okay? Right, when you're ready, you can prepare to just bring this back down to walk. Now, obviously, I'm going to suggest you do this on both reins, okay? First and foremost. And then what we can start to do, or what you can start to do, is to roll those poles, okay? Now, if you, again, took my advice as laid out in that workbook that I mentioned at the beginning, you'll see that I said to leave the poles pretty wide apart. So give yourself a good bit of wiggle room, okay? The wiggle room's for two reasons. First of all, I want to try and see what the horse would naturally do. And what you might have found, and particularly if you also kind of coupled that with what I said about taking it off the fence, if he stepped out, did he step over the poles? Did he run through the poles? Sometimes they don't even get the corner. They kind of treat the corner as a almost two trotting poles, if you want, okay? I want you to just notice all of those things. And then also what I want you to start doing then is to notice how easily he moved on that track. So you had to have laid out a track in your head. You had to have gotten really concise and specific about where you wanted him to travel. And did you manage to keep him on that? Or did he go, well, somewhere else? Okay? So once you've managed all that, so you managed the forwardness, you managed to keep him on the track, he didn't step out, he stayed moving, and he got the nice bend, you can start to then narrow the track, okay? So all this means is that wherever that chute is that you created, you're going to push the inside poles, basically, out a little bit closer to the outside poles and try it again, okay? Now, I do suggest doing this on both reins. I do suggest continuously changing up the reins. Don't keep just hammering on one and then hammer on the other, okay? Change it all up. And then from there, just notice how well your horse is moving forward for you. Okay, I'll be back with you tomorrow. Chat to you then. Bye.
Righty-ho, so you can get the download that I spoke about with the placement of the poles, a little diagram, okay, to help you out, inside of the Daily Strides podcast online community. You'll find that over at stridesforsuccess.com/group. I will also put a link in the show notes. And you can also get it on the blog, stridesforsuccess.com. There'll be a link to it there as well that you can download and get it for you as well there. And finally, if you are interested in the next four episodes with four different pole work, and of course, there's a whole little nifty printout workbook thing that you can use with this group of lessons, you'll get it all inside of Daily Strides Premium. You can find all the details over at stridesforsuccess.com/DSP, Daily Strides Premium. All the details are there. And no, I'm not pregnant. This was recorded in 2019. This is 5 years old now, okay? And it's actually May of 2019. And yes, it's Danny's birthday, our little one's birthday is coming up now. But yeah, that was then. This is now. I am not pregnant. So yes, there's no need to question that at all. All is good in the world. So yeah, I do hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you in the next episode of the podcast. Okay, be good. Bye.